You have your Bibles, you'll turn with me this morning to Colossians. I have a message I feel that I'd like to share with you, and I have all kind of emotions inside as I try to share this thought with you today. This is not the scripture that I had been reading in preparation for this service. In fact, in my office this morning, and meditating and studying on this service, I was directed to use this as a launching pad for what I want to say to you today. I think every good pastor has certain desires in his heart, not only for himself, but for his congregation as well. I have in my heart a desire for myself as a pastor and a spiritual leader. I have in my heart a desire for my staff and for the people that work in places of leadership in this church. I also have a desire in my heart for you. You as members of this local congregation. And I'd like to share with you my desires for you and for myself. And I believe they are scriptural. And I believe that God has placed these desires in my heart for this body. I believe that scripture where it says, "For it is God that worketh in you, both to will," that's desire, "and to do," that's the power, "to do His good pleasure. For the desires I have in my heart for you," I believe, "are the desires of God for you. For I feel like that I'm in the place that I am because God put me here. And I believe the desires I have for you are there because God put them there. And I believe God wants us to fulfill those desires." I want to read the first 8 or 9 verses of Colossians, the first chapter. Paul, writing to the Christians at Colossae, in his first imprisonment at Rome, recorded these words to these believers. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints," Paul said, I have been praying for you every since I heard about your testimony and your relationship to Jesus Christ and to the saints. When I heard of your faith and when I heard of your love, I began to pray for you. And I think that as believers, we owe that to each other. When we hear of another person's faith and love, I believe we're obligated as members of the body of Christ to pray for those people. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel." He said, "I know about the hope that you have, the hope that has been inspired in you because you've heard the gospel. And you have a hope, a lively hope, hope of eternal reward, which has come to you as it is in all the world and bringing forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, your Holy Spirit love, your agape love, and love born in your heart by the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. When I heard of these things, When I heard about this love and this faith and this hope and your response to the truth, so I began to pray a prayer for you. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire. I have a desire for you. I have such a desire for you that I'm making some special requests to God on your behalf. I believe, friends, when we look at one another, we ought to have such a strong desire for each other that we petition God to do certain things for us. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. I desire that for you. I desire that for every one of you. I believe it can be for every one of you. I believe God's got a will for every one of you. And I pray and my desire is that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that along with knowing His will, you might have the wisdom, the spiritual wisdom to carry out His will. You know, we not only need to know His will, but we need the spiritual wisdom and discernment how to perform His will. There's a lot of hurt and a lot of things that don't go accomplished because we may have a knowledge of His will, but if we don't have the wisdom and the right discernment how to apply and to do that will, we can cause damage to ourselves and to the body. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, that you might conduct yourself, you may live worthy of the Lord. I desire that for you. My, how I desire that the members of this local congregation would go out into the highways and the byways and to the jobs and schools and live worthy of the Lord. To conduct yourself in such a manner that it would bring glory and honor to God. How blessed I am when I can hear about the membership of this church walking in the beauty of God's holiness and in righteousness and in truth and spirituality. I desire that for this body of believers, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Oh, how I walk in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We live in a world, my friends, that's increasing in knowledge about everything in the world, but sometimes I feel like we lack in our knowledge of God. I'd rather you'd have a knowledge of God than all the sciences of the world. Amen. That we might increase of our knowledge of God. And I want to tell you, the greater knowledge you have of God, the less you think of yourself and the more you think of Him and His work. I pray that your knowledge of increase. Never, never, never feel like that you know as much about God as you need to know and can know. I'm here to tell you that we all can have a greater knowledge of God. Thank God, after 32 years of living, serving, searching, and preaching, I am still excited about what I'm finding out about God. And I do believe that my knowledge is increased in God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, that along with Him knowing His will and along with wisdom and understanding, along with working worthily and increasing knowledge, that you might be strengthened with His power. Oh, my desire for you is that you might know about the strength of God's mighty power. How I hunger for this congregation and every congregation, that once again believers would hunger for the supernatural power of God.
Too many of our churches are operating in the flesh. We don't cry out for the power of God, but it's still true. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. We need God's power. We may be strengthened with that power. I may know His will, but my friends, I recognize knowing His will and doing His will is two different things. But if I'm to do His will, I need the power of God to do it. Shame on you if you think that within yourself you have the power to do God's will. You do not. You can't live right and live like you ought to without God's power. Amen. Strengthen with all power. Glorious power with all patience or perseverance and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I have had a burning message in my heart for you. I have a desire for you. I can say with Paul, I desire that you would have a greater knowledge of God. I desire that you would have a special Holy Ghost illumination where the Bible can speak to you. My prayer is that you would be filled with the Holy Ghost daily, continually. That you would abound in love and joy and faith and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. I told Brother David Moore this morning, I could not always say this. I say it with humility. I say it giving God the praise and the honor. I say it knowing where I have been, knowing where I've come from. I say it knowing that I am what I am by the grace of God. And I say it not thinking that I've arrived to any special height or depth that allows me to speak down to people are over people. I say it not with an arrogance, I say it with humility, but I said it to Brother David Moore. I said, I have come to the place with God that now I can desire people come to that same place that I have found with God. To be to the place that I am. To be to the place that my wife knows that I am. To be to the place that my children know that I am. To be to the place that God knows that I am. And I'm at the place that the only thing that matters to me is to please Almighty God. To bring glory and honor to Him. I seek no praise for myself. I seek praise for Him who rules and reigns. Days and weeks and months I have been to struggle, to trial. I have failed. I have got up. I have fought. I have battled. I have quit. I have surrendered. I have preached to myself. I have been through many things, but finally, for years and years, I found a place with God that I desire for you. I wanted Johnny, Brother Johnny, to lead us in the song, Holy, Holy, Holy. A song we used to sing in Methodism a whole lot. The years I spent there, we would often on Sunday morning sing that great old hymn. One, I think, that we've lost sight of sometimes in the congregation, and I'd like to hear it again. I sided up to him and asked him, could we sing that? Do you think we could? And perhaps we will before I get through today. But I want to share with you my desire for all of us to desire the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, along with His power. Did you know there's a lot of people who want the power of God but desire no holiness? There are those who desire the ability to sing and to teach and preach but have no desire for the holiness of God. We've lost our sense of awe of God. The prayer in Bible conference, one night while I was sitting there, all of a sudden the story of Isaiah came back to my mind. Isaiah, the 6th chapter. I don't know how many times I've read, preached, and discussed that, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to burn this thought in my mind. And so when I got back home, I opened my Bible. And when I was thinking about my desire for this congregation, my desire for the self, somehow I begin to desire for you and me the kind of revelation of God that Isaiah had. I begin to desire that we would see God the way Isaiah saw Him. There's something that's too lighthearted about a lot of our worship. We seem to just come so often into the presence of God with a lightheartedness, with no reverence or no awe. We just want to boogie it up and do our own thing. And I wonder if we really worship when we got through. I want us to rediscover worship. Worship. Real worship. What is real worship? Real worship is an experience with God. Real worship is something that does something to the inside of a person that will mark his outside. Real worship transforms us on the inside, and then when people look at us on the outside, they know we've worshiped. We worship. There was a time in Isaiah's life that he needed to see God. We need to see God again. I need to see Him. You need to see Him. I need to see Him often. Oh, that Sunday night 2 weeks ago, I believe we had a touch of His glory. He just settled over in His terrific power. And someone said they felt like they ought to fall on their face before Him. And the truth of the matter is, what a glorious thing if it would have been if over 350 or 400 people would automatically just fell on their face before God. Isaiah had lived in the reign of a most popular king by the name of Uzziah. The Bible said King Uzziah was 16 years old when he ascended to the throne of the kingdom of Judah. And it says at the early age that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he sought God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. God said he won military battles and conquered land for the kingdom of Judah. The Bible says that he built walls around the cities and forts to fortify his kingdoms. The Bible says he dug cisterns and wells. And the Bible says that he loved husbandry and he planted gardens and vines. The Bible says he was an inventor. The Bible said he was the greatest king since King Solomon. Bible said his name spread abroad. He was a rich man. He had great foreign policy and domestic policy. He was a great leader. He was a hero. And the eyes of the young and the old looked at King Uzziah and said, "What a king. What a man." And they looked to King Uzziah sitting on his throne. And some
Bible said,
strong, but in his strength he got arrogant. In his strength he got full of pride. In his strength he decided that he could do everything himself. And so one day he decided he would go into the sanctuary, into the temple, and he would take a censer.
We serve a sovereign God. We live in a world today when there are those who think they know enough that they can command God, and that they know God's every little program, and that they know God's little thoughts and everything. I want you to know the God that I serve is bigger than mine in your theology, bigger than mine in your little teachings and doctrine. The God I serve is a sovereign God. You can't take him off his throne. And I want to tell you, he's too big for me to figure out all of his ways and to know all of his thoughts. I just admit to you that I don't understand all his ways. And I sure don't know what all he thinks. But I know he's not only God, but he's my Father. And as my Father, he won't do anything to hurt me or destroy me. What I want this congregation to see, what I desire for me and you is that we will see God on his throne. He's there. Hallelujah. God reigns today. He rules today. And lifted up. Who do we need to exalt? I see him high and lifted up. It's not that God will come down to my level, but I'll give it to him. Amen. So he says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In other words, there was no place in that temple that God's trained and unveiled with God's presence. You know, the sanctuary was divided between the holy place and the holiest of holies. And they had the outer court and the inner court. And sometimes one group of people could get to this part, and another group could get to this part, and some were excluded from this part. Just the high priest was only was able to go to the holiest of holies. But I want you to know that what Isaiah saw is that I saw God that is everywhere. In the whole temple, you cannot go where God is not. He saw his omnipresence. He saw his omnipotence. He saw his omniscience. He saw his immutability. He saw him the way we need to see God. If there's anything the church needs today, I believe it's a fresh vision of God. You need it. I need it. My desire is that you see God. Bigger than all your problems. Bigger than all your problems. Stood, and I saw from that bullet stood the circle. These angelic creations, we have no real definition of them. All I know is they were created angelic beings that were there for a purpose. And their purpose was as they stood, amen, above it stood, above the throne, it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. Six. It said, with twain he covered his face. The seraphim covered the face in humility or reverence. With twain they covered their bodies with humility or awe. And with twain they did fly. Two of their wings were used to express reverence. Two of the wings were used to express humility. Two of the wings were used to fly with it, simply that we're ready to obey your every command. Whatever you tell me. I saw these happen. And this is what we need to see. And one cried unto the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy. What I desire for this congregation is that we might get a fresh vision not only of his power and his majesty and his sovereignty, but I pray that we get a fresh vision of the holiness of God. How can we live such a great life in the flesh and the spirit and still talk about serving a holy God? They said the whole earth is full of its glory. The earth may not know it, but the whole earth is full of its glory. I want you to know the earth is full of glory today. Thank God. The post of the door moved and the porch of the entrance was cried and the house was filled with smoke. So I have a desire. My desire for 1985 is that you might see God. And then when you do, here's what you'll want to do. Then said I, what would you do? I never got real close to God. Thought I was big enough to tell him how good it was. I have found the closer I get to him, the smaller I feel. I feel so unclean. I feel so undone. I catch myself in conversation with the world sometimes when it's so carnal. Sometimes in the presence of other believers, I feel so smart. I feel so holy. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cuss. I don't want to go for an R-rated movie. I don't want to play more magazine. I tithe. I pray regularly. I read my Bible constantly. I know nobody I don't love. I ask for forgiveness. Somehow I feel so spiritual. Until I get in his presence. And then I want to say with Isaiah, but I woe is me, Father. To steal so much of Jack. That God needs to work on. There's so much of self that needs to die. Something still rises up in me every now and then. It says I'm being offended and somebody's not treating me right. Something rises up in me and worries about my feelings. Jealousy starts to creep in. Questioning God. But when I'm in his presence, I say, God, I need so much more. I need a new touch. I need to die again. Kill me, Lord. Kill me. There'll be nothing left but you. I want to know him. Him. Oh, that I might know him. Woe is me, where I might not go down and learn about cleanness, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean. For mine eyes have seen the King. When I see the King, the Lord of hosts, I see myself as somebody that needs help and grace of God. And then under that convicting power, in that confession, then flew one of the serpents upon me, under me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken the thorn from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth. I want to tell you, in the presence of God, there is cleansing. Wherever there is confession, there can always be cleansing. Wherever there is confession, there is cleansing. He laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched my lips, and my iniquity is taken away, and my sin is purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? He couldn't have volunteered until he had that confession and cleansing. He couldn't have volunteered until he saw himself and saw God. I want you to know, when you see the Lord, the next thing you want to do is be silent. It'll make the man. Say, Lord, here I am. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Him shall I. Here am I. Send me. My desire for you is that you would see God, that you would see self, that you would confess, that you would be cleansed, and then like a mighty army with one voice, you would cry, here, Lord.
bless you. Amen. Let's sing that second verse. Amen.
We could see you in your majesty. We could
fall on our face before you and ask you for cleansing. Thank you.